right, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and we're in lesson number 9. Acts chapter 10. Title is, God is no respecter of persons. Because we're going to see that God is going to reach out to a people group that the Jews were not ready to reach out to. In particular, we're going to meet today the man by the name of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And there's a lot of resistance at first, but we're going to see how God worked in a special way. As the introduction here says, national and religious distinctions were to be dissolved, and all true believers in the Lord Jesus would be on the same level in the Christian fellowship. So the first blank of the introduction is fellowship. Everybody is equal. In the Christian fellowship.
Amen.
No more national distinctions. Everything is done away with in Christ. As the New Testament says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free. All are one in Christ. So that is what the Jewish people had to learn. They had to learn this lesson. Because at first they were resistant to this. You know, they were proud of their heritage. They were proud of being Jews. And yes, it's true, in the Old Testament, God dealt primarily with the Jews. God dealt with Israel. Everything that He worked through was through the nation of Israel. Now, other people were saved. There's examples of Gentiles that were saved in the Old Testament. Rahab was saved in the Old Testament. Ruth the Moabitess was saved in the Old Testament. So there were Gentile people that got saved, but God's working was through Israel. That was it. All right? So God worked through Israel. Well, now this is beginning to change. You know, this is where like in Acts 1:8, when Jesus gave the apostles the mission. He said, preach the gospel. He said, be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea. And then he branched out to Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we're going to meet Cornelius, a non-Jewish person. And we're going to see, number one, his devotion. Number one, the devotion of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Devotion. He was a very devoted man. Verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, Brother Tony. Yeah. The Italian Band. This man, letter A, was a man of authority, letter A. He was a man of authority. He was a centurion. He was a leader. He's a man of authority, which is interesting because he also was a man of character, we're going to see in a moment. Those two together are hard to find. Someone that's in authority and has character, that's hard to find these days. And in those days, I'm sure, it was hard to find too. So, Cornelius, alright? Look at verse 2. You see what kind of man he was. He was a devout man. That's why we say he was devoted. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. He was a giving man, a godly man, and prayed to God alway. He was a praying man. He's a spiritual man. But interestingly, he's not yet heard about Christ. So he's not a saved man. We're going to see that in a moment. So letter B, he is an example of one who was seeking truth. He was looking for the truth. He believed in God, all right, and he was still following that Old Testament system. He had not yet heard about Christ, okay? Had not yet been presented, at least, with the gospel. Maybe he heard about Christ, but he certainly has not yet been saved. Otherwise, the rest of the chapter wouldn't need to be there. Otherwise, Peter would not have been sent to go talk to him, as we're going to see in a little bit. You see, God's going to send Peter to go talk to him. Why? Because, obviously, Cornelius wasn't yet saved. Otherwise, why would God even bother sending Peter there? Some people debate, well, was Cornelius saved at this point in verse number 2? Well, if he was saved, why did God send Peter to go talk to him? If Cornelius already had enough, why did God send Peter to go talk to him? You understand? So obviously, in verse 2, even though he's devoted, even though he fears God, even though he's a giving man and a praying man, all those things are great and good, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. You see? So he was one who was seeking truth. But then in verse 3, he sees a vision. Cornelius, it says that he sees a vision in the ninth hour of the day. An angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And in verse 4, when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. In other words, God does see what you do. God is watching. Again, not that it was enough to get this man to heaven, no. But God took notice that this was a man who desired to do right. God took notice that this was a man who wanted to know the truth. God took notice of that. And God will take notice when there are those who desire to do what's right, have a seeking heart. I mean, let's face it, there are those out there who want nothing to do with God, and God will still reach out to them too.
Amen.
And then there are those who do have a desire to know more. There are those who are curious. We met one, remember, a few weeks ago in Acts chapter 8, right? The Ethiopian. He was searching. So there's all different people out in the world, and God knows everybody's heart. God knows those who want nothing to do with Him, sadly so, and God also knows those who do have a desire to know more.
Amen.
Cornelius was one who wanted to know more. And let her see, God will always respond to those that seek truth. God will respond to that, let her see. God will always respond. I'm often asked the question that what about the people that are in the jungles of Africa and they have no other way of knowing? What about those people? Romans chapter 1 talks about how God has shown His glory to all the nations. It says they're without excuse. It says they can look at creation and see that that is placed by an orderly and a God who put that there. You understand? So they have a choice now at that point in time to either worship the creation or to look for the Creator. And I believe that those who do look for the Creator, God will send somebody to them. Somehow, some way, God will send somebody to them. And there's stories about that, about tribal groups that had a heart that wanted to know more. And God sent a missionary to them. And they were ready. They were ready to receive the gospel, and they did. And there's stories like that all throughout history. So I believe that if somebody responds to the light that God already has given them, He'll send more light. You see? So verse 5. The angel says, Cornelius, I want you to send men to Joppa and call from one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. In other words, Cornelius, you need to know more. God has taken notice of your testimony. God sees that you desire to do what's right, but it's not enough. You need more. You need to hear more. You see, there's no amount of good works that any of us can do to earn our way to heaven. There's no amount of devotion that'll get us into heaven. It's not enough. You can do all the good works in the world. It's never enough. Okay? Our righteousness will never please God. It's only the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
That's the only thing. Otherwise, again, if what we could do, if what verse 2 said about Cornelius was enough, then Jesus would not have had to die on the cross, and there'd be no need to preach the gospel to people, because if verse 2 was enough, there wouldn't be a verse number 6 where it says, you need to hear more. You need to find out what you ought to do. So in verse 7, as soon as that angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, you can be sure, it says, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. See, he was a man of authority. He said, go, and they went. I mean, he called his men, he called his servants, one of his soldiers, sent them out. Verse 8, and when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. He said, this is talk about an important mission. He said, I got a very important mission. You can imagine how Cornelius was excited. I mean, wow, God is reaching out to me, and there's more I need to know. What is it? And he was excited. But here's an interesting thing. Why? I mean, here the angel meets with Cornelius and says there's more you need to know. Why not just have the angel preach the gospel to him and have him get saved right then and there, right? Well, you know why? Letter D. The angel was not sent to preach the gospel to Cornelius. That is a job God has exclusively reserved for His people.
Amen.
You see, the angel could not preach the gospel. That is not a job that God allows the angels to have. The angels can proclaim good news. They did to the shepherds in Bethlehem. The angels can deliver messages that are wonderful, but they don't preach the gospel. God has excluded. Just imagine that. What an amazing responsibility God has given us. That's a job that's exclusively reserved for us. Which means if we don't do it, nobody will. The angels aren't going to do it. Nobody else can preach the gospel except for God's people. And that's letter D. Exclusively reserved for His people. So the angel arrives and, you know, all this glory and beauty, and, you know, Cornelius was scared and amazed, and but yet the message was, you need to get somebody else so that that person can share the good news with you. A person, one of God's people, had to do it.
There's a scripture I keep reading over and over in a lot of the prophets, that if you could give a message of salvation to somebody,
right,
and you don't do it, and that person dies in his sin,
yeah,
the blood of that person is
going to
be on your head.
You're right. Ezekiel. Those are sobering verses. We have a high responsibility. It's a big responsibility. We're accountable for sharing the gospel. Now, letter E. Cornelius was a moral man, as we said, but he still needed to be saved. He still needed salvation.
Amen.
He needed to be saved. Knowing about God and being moral is not enough. People must hear of Christ.
Amen.
So he needed to be saved.
Amen.
Again, God took notice. We said that he says, God is, you know, the angel said to Cornelius, God sees your heart, God knows your heart, but you need to hear more. So we see that there was a man named Cornelius who had great devotion. But then number two, the denial of Peter. The denial of Peter. I thought we were done with that. I thought Peter learned his lesson. Well, he's, you know, sometimes the old man still creeps back in, even after you've been growing in the Lord. Sometimes the old man comes back. Peter had a habit of denying the Lord. He got it fixed, yes, but here in this next section, we're going to see there's something else that he wrestles with. So verse 9, first we see that on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh, so this is the next day, the men are already on their way. It was a two-day journey from where Cornelius was to where Peter was. So there was a two-day journey. So on day one, while these men are journeying, Peter, who has no idea anything yet, he has no idea about anything. He goes up onto the rooftop. You know, they had flat roofs back then, and they had ladders that led up to them, and they could go up there. And he went up there, why? To pray. To pray about the sixth hour. Okay, they had their morning, and then they had, you know, the most typical was the morning and evening prayer times. But this was the sixth hour, middle of the day, and we see that Peter was a man of prayer, letter A. He didn't want to just pray once a day or just twice a day. No, he wanted to pray three times a day. Letter A, Peter was a man of prayer. And letter B, it was his habit to have three prayer times set aside each day. Three prayer times. Now look at Psalm 55. This is a good habit, if possible, to incorporate into your life. Now, obviously work schedules can determine how much you can do, and we understand that. But Psalm 55, verse 17, look at what the Bible says here. This is what David said in Psalm 55, 17. Evening and morning, those are the two, those were like the two regular times when every faithful Jewish person would pray, the morning prayer time, the evening prayer time. But then it says, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Three times a day. There's another example. Look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. All right, Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, this was the writing that the people that didn't like Daniel had the king write about not being able to pray to any other god or gods except to the king for a whole month. And as soon as Daniel knew that, he didn't care. It says, after he knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day. And he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. This was his habit. Three times a day, he set time aside to pray. It's a great example in the Bible.
Amen.
So three times a day. You know, we eat three meals a day, most of us, right? So three meals a day keeps us healthy. Maybe three prayer times a day will keep us more spiritually healthy. You see? It might contribute a lot to our spiritual life. I'm sure it would. And letter C, Peter, he was sure to seek a place of privacy He prayed upon the rooftop where he could be alone. And that's important, to have effectual prayer. It's best accomplished when you have a place where you're alone. That's the best prayer that you can have, is when you're alone. Again, you could pray all day long. The Bible says pray without ceasing. So yeah, you could pray in a crowd of people. You can. You could pray at the workplace when there's people around you, yes. But the effectual fervent prayer, the Bible says, of a righteous man availeth much. And you can't really have effectual fervent prayer unless you're alone with God.
Amen.
That's how you can have effectual fervent prayer, as James 5 talks about. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Look at Psalm 91, verse 1. Psalm 91, it talks about being alone with God. Psalm 91, verse 1. Maybe somebody would like to read that for us. Psalm 91, 1.
He that dwelleth in the secret place, the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Secret place. Alone with God. And one more verse about that. Matthew 6, verse 6. If somebody would like to read that for us. Matthew 6, 6. Alone time with God. These are the words of Christ, Matthew 6, 6.
When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
There's that word, repeated again. Secret place, alone with God. It could be anywhere. It doesn't have to be a closet. It could be anywhere. That might give a real startle to somebody that goes in the closet to get their shoes or their coat, and you're in there. That'd be a little shocking. But wherever it is, however you can pray alone with God, that's the way. And that is what will really keep us close to God, I believe, more than anything else.
Amen.
More than anything else, that's what will keep us close and connected to God.
Amen.
That's the idea of what Christ says in John 15 about abiding in Him.
Amen.
That's the way. Is being close to Him in prayer. So Peter is praying. And what happens now? As we go back to Acts 10, in verse number 10, Acts 10:10, he became very hungry. It was the middle of the day, you know, lunchtime, and he would have eaten, but they made ready, and he fell into a trance. He kind of just got a little weak, you know, low blood sugar. He's weak, he hasn't eaten, and he's up on the rooftop, and he gets a little woozy. But then God intervenes in verse 11, and he sees heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. And he sees this big sheet coming down from heaven. And in verse number 12, inside or on this sheet were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, and then it says creeping things and fowls of the air. There came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Verse 14, but Peter said, notice, "Not so, Lord." He's telling the Lord no. This is his old man coming back. And he says, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. I'm a good Jewish man, and I follow the law. I don't eat those unclean animals that you say not to eat," because God did say in the Old Testament, don't eat these certain types of creeping things and these certain types of meats. Don't eat them. God gave laws, these ceremonial laws. Well, now God's saying, eat it. And he says, "Not so, Lord," but in verse 15, now notice what God says. The voice spake unto him again a second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And it says in verse 16, this was done thrice, three times. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. This is three times again, kind of like Peter's denial of three times, and kind of like Jesus asking Peter three times, "Lovest thou me?" Here it is again, three times. It seems like, you know, Peter had things in threes. You know, sometimes we have to, you know, hear it three times before we get it. So three times. And then Peter wakes up, of course, in verse 17, and says, "What in the world was that all about?" In verse 17, what does that vision mean? He's curious. He's confused. Wait, I mean, it's kind of like a shock to him. Wait a minute, you mean to tell me that all these things I was raised with, that now I don't have to follow that? Not when it comes to the ceremonial laws. So first of all, let's write down letter D. God speaks to us when we're in the spirit of prayer. You know, we're often seeking God's will. We're often seeking wisdom. It's as we're in the spirit of prayer and close to the Lord that God will often answer us with that still small voice that Elijah heard. That still small voice when Elijah was communing with God. And God spoke to Elijah and said, Elijah, I still got work for you to do. Elijah wanted to end his life. Elijah was in such a fit of depression after Jezebel said, I'm going to hunt you down. He ran away from God. He ran away from his mission. He was ready to end his life. He said, Lord, just end my life. He was that miserable. You know, that's misery when you want your life to end. And God spoke to him in a still small voice, just a quiet voice. And you know, that's how God will often speak to you and I, is when we're close in prayer. And then you'll hear that still small voice. And it's not a loud voice. It's not a loud speaker from heaven. All right? It's not handwriting on the walls. It's not a big burst of light that happens. And no, it's just that still small voice, the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. And then you know what it is God wants you to do. He gives you peace. And that's what God is doing. God is speaking to Peter. And letter E, why? Peter needed to be prepared. This was not just some random vision. This was God preparing Peter for the mission he was going to give him. Peter needed to be prepared. Peter, you don't know all that's going to happen, but I have a mission for you, and you're going to have to reach out to somebody that you normally wouldn't reach out to. So this was something he needed to be prepared for. And also letter F. The Old Testament food and Gentile restrictions were done away with.
Amen.
Done away with. Now, that does not mean we throw the Old Testament out the window. That does not mean we don't need the Old Testament anymore. It just means that those parts of the Old Testament law no longer apply to us. The clean and unclean foods no longer applies. Okay? And the Old Testament restrictions against Gentiles, they had very strong restrictions against non-Jews. Non-Jews could only enter the outer court of the temple. They weren't even allowed to go all the way into the temple. I mean, they had great restrictions. It'd be like if today, if we had a similar situation, it'd be like, all right, certain, you know, Gentiles, you have to stand on the steps outside the church. And then we Jews, if anybody here was Jewish, which I don't think anybody here is, we Jews could come into the church building. But you Gentiles have to stay out on the steps. That's what it was like. Restrictions. And you know what? The Gentiles that came to the Lord, they were okay with that, you know. As long as they knew the Lord, they were okay with that. They were just thankful to have God's mercy, but they were restricted. No more. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent. Full access. Even the Jews had restrictions. Only the high priest could go into the holy place. Now the Bible teaches all believers can go into the holy place.
Amen.
All of us. It's just an amazing change took place. And it's still, remember, the book of Acts is transition. And there's still some people that have to get used to this new system. Peter had to get used to the new system. Peter, there's no more Jew-Gentile like this way, where the Jew is above the Gentile. That's done away with, all equal in Christ. And the same thing is true. There's no more high priest, priest, and then common people. That's done away with. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. Every believer, whether it's a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, or a plumber.
Amen.
In Christ, equal. Equal access. A plumber who knows Christ has as much access to Christ as a pastor who preaches the Word of God every week. There's no, oh, well, the pastor is now praying to me. Let me give him extra attention. Oh, that's just the plumber praying to me now. I'm kind of, no. When the plumber prays, God is just as interested as when the pastor prays.
Amen.
In Christ, we're all equal. No matter what the profession is, no matter what the nationality is, all equal in Christ. It's a wonderful truth. So letter F, the Old Testament food and Gentile restrictions were done away with. You could look up those verses later if you'd like. Ephesians 2 talks about the joining of Jew and Gentile in one body in Christ. No more distinctions, no more foreigners, no more strangers, all one in Christ. Now we go to verse 17. While Peter doubted in himself what this vision should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now the Spirit speaks. Peter, three men are coming to see you. Go with them. Don't even ask questions. Just go. I have sent them, God says. The Spirit prepares him. And letter G. Yielding to the Holy Spirit is the first key in witnessing to others. You have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit to be a witness. In witnessing to others. Just like Philip, the evangelist, the Holy Spirit said, Philip, leave Samaria. Yeah, but Lord, there's a great revival here. No, leave Samaria and go to the desert. And Philip went to the desert. And then as Philip was in the desert, then the Spirit spoke again and said, Philip, join yourself to this chariot. And he did. And he met the Ethiopian who was reading the book of Isaiah. See who's the key? Is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He's the one that leads us to the people we need to speak to. He's the one that gives you the words to say to the people that need to hear it. It's the Holy Spirit. You got to be listening to Him. All of us, if we're going to be witnesses.
Amen.
So that was what Peter had to do. So we see there was a denial there. At first he said, not so, Lord. But then the Holy Spirit teaches him. Now we go to number three, the deliverance of Cornelius. Number three. The deliverance of Cornelius. Verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said unto him, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Wow. So this was a big, important thing. And in verse 23, Then called he them in, and he lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And in verse 24, on the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and his near friends. Cornelius wasn't the only one there. He got his family members and his friends. He said, I want everybody to be here to hear what this man has to tell us. This is a message from God. Imagine if everybody was that excited about the gospel. When you went to share the gospel with them, and they got the family members together and their friends so that they could hear you share the gospel with them. Imagine that. But that was Cornelius. And letter A, Cornelius was eager and waiting to hear God's message. You see, God knows who is eager to hear. And that ought to be our prayer. Lord, lead me to the people who are eager to hear your word. It's tough to find nowadays, but there's still those, I believe, that are out there. That are still searching. There's still those. Even if it's 1 in 1,000. Maybe 1 in 10,000. That's okay. Lead us, Lord, to those people that are searching and seeking and desiring to know. And God will lead you. So in verse 25, as soon as Peter arrives, Cornelius is overwhelmed. And Cornelius falls down at Peter's feet and worships Peter. He's so excited. But of course, Peter in verse 26 rightfully says, get up. He says, stand up, I'm just a man. In verse 26, I'm not an angel. And I'm not, even angels wouldn't receive worship. And I'm not God. Don't fall down before me. Peter says, I'm just a man. So letter B, he had much to learn about spiritual things. Cornelius still had much to learn. He falls down and starts worshiping Peter. And Peter says, no, you don't worship me. Letter C, Peter would not receive worship, but rightfully directed it to the Lord.
Amen.
Peter would not receive worship. No human being should ever receive worship. Yet we have those that walk upon the face of this earth that say they should be worshipped. And there are people that worship other humans. We have groups of people that worship the Pope. And we have other groups of people that worship somebody else because they call him the Holy Father.
Yeah,
no.
Right.
No human being gets worship. No matter what their title is. Peter, the great apostle Peter, would not receive worship. No way. He turned it down. We only worship Christ.
I tell that to my sisters all the time. I can't. It's like talking to a stone wall. I tell them, you can't even worship the Blessed Virgin Mary. And
right.
First of all, she's not a virgin anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She had other children.
She did.
And that's when the sparks fly.
Sure it is.
You have to worship God and God only. God
right.
Said in the Bible, I stand alone.
Amen.
Next to me.
We only worship God. No other people get worshipped.
Amen.
Human beings, Peter was just a human. Mary was just a human. None of them get worship.
Amen.
Now, verse 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found that many were come together. Peter walks into a crowd. And in verse 28, he said unto them, ye know, now listen to Peter's words in verse 28, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one that of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. He says, you understand, Cornelius and company, that this is not normal. This is something new for me, Peter says. But God has showed me now that this is okay. But under the Old Testament system, God gave them stronger distinctions. So letter D, following God's will may place you in uncomfortable situations. Please realize that. You may be placed in an uncomfortable situation.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus was in uncomfortable situations where He even received criticism for going into the houses of certain people. That the Jewish people said, what's He doing going into that person's house? The houses of tax collectors. And sitting at the well and speaking to a Samaritan woman who had a very bad reputation. You know, Jesus was in some uncomfortable situations. But for Him it wasn't uncomfortable, you understand? For Him it wasn't, because He loved these people and He kept repeatedly saying, these are the people that I came to save.
Amen.
So Jesus was not uncomfortable. But it made other people uncomfortable. It made the disciples uncomfortable. Why is He talking to that person? Doesn't He know what kind of woman she is? Doesn't He know what kind of man he is? You know, Jesus talked to liars, cheaters, stealers. He talked to those people. Zacchaeus, he had a bad reputation, but Christ reached out to him. I mean, there's lists of people. So when we follow the Lord's will, we have to be willing to put aside what might make us uncomfortable. We have to be willing to put aside our pride and stop worrying about what other people might think, right? It might be uncomfortable. Verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We are here, ready to listen to your words, Peter. So the floor is yours, Peter. Share with us what God has you to share with us. And that's letter E, as we said earlier, letter E. God will send more light to those that respond to the light He has already given them. God will send more light if they respond to the light He's already given them.
Amen.
Romans 1:20 discusses that. Romans 1:20 talks about how people are without excuse. If they just respond to what God has shown them already, the glory of His creation,
Amen.
He'll send more light.
Amen.
He will send more light. So in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive, as our title says, that God is no respecter of persons. Letter F. Peter and the Jews now realize the far-reaching power of the gospel. The far-reaching power of the gospel. It's for everybody.
Amen.
Not just the Jews. It's for everybody. Letter G is John 3:16. For God so loved the world. The whole world. Not just Israel, but the whole world. And letter H, nobody is restricted from coming to Christ because of nationality. Nobody is restricted because of nationality.
Amen.
God loves all nations. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, we are told that every nation will be represented in heaven. Every nation. Every tribe, every tongue, the Bible says, will be represented in heaven. That's amazing. There's a lot of nations out there. Every nation will be represented in heaven.
Amen.
Letter C was worship. All right, no problem. So verse 35, but in every nation, Peter says, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. So you see, he begins to preach Christ. And in verse 37, he goes on and talks about how Jesus began after he was baptized by John. Verse 38, how Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power went about doing good, healing. Verse 39, it talks about how he died on the cross. He preaches the death of Christ. But then in verse 40, he also shares the resurrection of Christ. him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Verse 41, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Peter says, I was an eyewitness, Peter says. This is a first-hand account. Peter says, I ate a meal with Jesus after he rose again. You see? So he's an eyewitness. And in verse 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and dead. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth on him, in him shall receive remission of sins. There's the gospel. He just gave this man the gospel and said, whoever believes in Christ will be forgiven of their sins. He just preached the gospel unto him. So first letter I, Peter shared the stories of Jesus with this Gentile home. He preached the stories of Jesus. He talked about the good miracles Christ did, the healings. He talked about the death, burial, and resurrection. He told them the stories of Jesus.
Amen.
That's all we have to do. And letter J, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer to everyone, every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. We should always be ready.
Amen.
To give an answer.
Amen.
About Christ. 1 Peter 3:15. Be ready. And then in verse 44 it says, while Peter yet spake these words, as he was speaking these words, it says the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Alright, verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they which were of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished. They were just shocked that Gentiles could be saved. And verse 46, this is one of the other times. Remember, we said it's not often in the book of Acts that we see it. But here we do see it in verse 46 because this is, again, a new event. We see that the gift of tongues was given here. Here it was given. We're not going to read about it again until like the very end of the book. So again, the gift of tongues was very sparingly used. According to the book of Acts. We only read about it a few times, about three places in the book of Acts do we see it. But it always accompanied when something new happened. It was a sign gift. It was a confirmation. And then in verse 47, we see that they were baptized. In verse 48, baptism took place right away. They were ready. So what happened? Letter K. It is the preaching, hearing, and receiving of the word that brings salvation.
Amen.
The word was preached. They heard it. And they received it. The receiving of the word. They received it and that brought salvation to this Gentile home. So it says in conclusion, these Gentiles had been saved in the same way as the Jews. Simple faith. There was no suggestion of law keeping. Peter never once mentioned law keeping. Peter never once mentioned circumcision, becoming a Jew. And Peter never mentioned anything about clean or unclean rituals. Peter just preached Jesus. There was no requirements for them. Peter did not say, well, you know, you're going to have to become Jews in order to be saved. Peter didn't say, well, you know, Cornelius, you're going to have to follow the Old Testament law in order to be saved. No. Peter preached to him Christ and said, if you believe on Christ, you'll have forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
So this is something new. Transition. This was something new for Peter and for the Jews. And this is actually going to be the topic of discussion even in the next chapter. They're going to be talking about this in Jerusalem. Did you hear what happened? The word's going to spread. So it's exciting. And you know what? It's exciting for us because we follow after. We are like a Cornelius. Those of us that aren't Jews. We're like a Cornelius. All right? We're, you know, non-Jew, no claim to God's promises, but yet God has reached out to us. And that's a wonderful blessing to think of how what Christ did on the cross tore that veil. Got rid of those Old Testament restrictions. And now we can be one in Christ. All equal. No more levels of access. No more distinctions of, well, you can get this close to God, but you can only get this close, and you have to stay out in the courtyard, and only the high priest can go in. No, we're all, it's all equal in Christ. It's an amazing thing to think of. We ought to be thankful for it. All right, let's close in a word of prayer.